At the beginning of all services of memorial and remembrance, we light a single white candle. It is a symbol of the light of Christ. It is a reminder of the promises of the gospel, and it is a sign of the hope of the resurrection. In this grace, we gather for worship.
God is good
all the time.
We greet you this morning in the name of the risen Christ, and we celebrate the resurrection today through light and symbol and song and prayer. We want to extend a special welcome to all visitors who are with us today and encourage you, if you'd like to know more about our church, please fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate as it passes by you this morning. We also want to keep in mind and keep in prayer those who are traveling from our church who are in other parts today. A couple of reminders. Next Sunday is the deadline for your shoeboxes. If you have not had a chance to do that, you've got 1 week left, and we want you to bring those in next week so that we can have those prepared. Also, you'll notice in your bulletin some information about disaster relief. There are a number of ways that you can be involved. Financially, you can give to Baptist Men Disaster Relief Fund. That's going to immediate needs of food and water and clothing and shelter. You can also go to cbfnc.org or give through the church to the CBFNC Hurricane Matthew Disaster Fund. That's more for long-term care. That's a grant process that they're setting up for churches and organizations to be able to apply for grant monies. And then we also are going to learn some more this week about how we can directly hands-on volunteer. I'll be attending some meetings in the state to find out how we can send groups or individuals to do clean out. That's when the waters have finally receded. And now that those places have become safe and accessible, there's a great need to simply get all that is molded and ruined out of those homes so that people can begin to rebuild. So be looking out for more information about that through email and then also through next Sunday's announcements. Today you notice many candles here on the table. For the last 2 years, we have observed All Saints Sunday. All Saints Day is a day in the life of the church calendar where we pause and remember those who have gone before us. It's a day to celebrate the great and iconic saints of the church, like Paul, like Matthew, like Martin Luther, and even Martin Luther King Jr. But it's also a time to remember those saints closer to home, those mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, those foremothers and forefathers who've gone before us in your family and even in this church family. It's a time to also recognize and acknowledge the sacrifice of the martyrs, martyrs who gave their life for their faith, those who refused to recant or to deny Christ. And martyrs are not an ancient thing, as we're learning about in Men's Breakfast in this new series. Martyrdom is something going on even today. In fact, it's very likely even on this day to acknowledge that. So later in the service, we'll have an opportunity for you to give glory to God and thanksgiving to Him for those saints that have blessed and touched your life in so many ways. As we worship, would you remember their faces, remember their names, and remember their stories?
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews, selected passages from chapters 11 and chapters 12. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, as we gather here in this place, we are thankful that your Spirit is with us. We are thankful for the guidance that the Spirit will give us through our time of worship as we sing, as we read Scripture, as we pray, as we reflect. Father God, we're also thankful for those, that great cloud of witnesses that have come before us, that have allowed us to be here this day, that have influenced our lives both individually and corporately as a body of Christ. And we seek to learn from their teachings, learn from their lessons, and may we continue to pass that on within these walls and outside these walls. We lift this prayer this morning in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you would stand and join us in singing our hymn of praise, In Christ Alone. Please stand to faith.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fierce and drowned I storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are spilled, when strife is ceased. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the one he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him is laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, blinded the world in darkness slain, then bursting forth he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse is lost, his grip on me, for I am his, and he is mine, brought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in mind, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's loose cry and final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Amen. Maybe see. Well, after many weeks of prayer and discussion and preparation, the seniors and juniors of our youth group finally came to a decision. They decided on a location for our summer mission trip, and it is great pleasure and great honor that I get to share that with you today. This morning, I would like to announce that the youth this summer will be traveling to... I can't tell you yet. Oh, I got you, didn't I? See, I made sure I worded it carefully that I said today, not this morning. because the majority of the youth group don't even know where we're going yet. Only the juniors and seniors know where we're going, and I will be announcing that to the entire youth group this evening at 7 o'clock. So at some point today, you might discover where we're going. I know it. A few of us know it, and we're excited about the opportunity. So what can you do in the meantime as I have built the anticipation of wanting to know where the youth will be traveling? This is what I need you to do. I need you to pray, because no matter where God takes us, we're going to be the hands and feet of Christ, and that's what we'll be doing. No matter where we go, we're going to need safety and travel. So we ask that you pray for our safety and travel as well. No matter where we go, we're going to impact a community that needs the love of Christ. So pray for that community, even though you don't know the name. Pray for each one of our youth that are going to be attending this trip. Pray for each one of our chaperones that will be going on this trip, because they need your prayers as well. And pray as a congregation that we can support our youth in this missions endeavor. Another thing that you can do in preparation for this trip is to support us by coming out to a meal tonight at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. It is our monthly fellowship meal, and the youth will be preparing and providing it for us. Any donations that are raised as a part of the meal tonight will go straight to support the mission trip coming up next summer in 2017. The items on the menu, it is breakfast for dinner. So we have pancakes and sausage. We have cheesecake and ice cream, because nothing is better than ice cream. And so that is the meal for tonight, but we need you to come out. Now, I do understand that the time has changed, and because of that, it gets dark a lot earlier. So our meal tonight is at 5 o'clock, and looking at the way the sun goes down, it goes down approximately about 5:40. So the dinner will be over at 5:30, so you can have time to get home in time before that sun goes down. So come out tonight at 5 o'clock to support our youth. If you want to stay and find out the location, you're welcome to stay at 7 o'clock for our meeting as well, when the location will be announced. But I will let you know that the information will get passed out this week about where we'll be going. Please be in prayer for our missions team. Be in prayer for the youth that will be going on it, and the opportunity that God has in front of us. I hope you're excited, as excited as we are.
Oh, well. Now, all right. Let me start this over. Have you ever gotten so mad at someone you wanted to hit them? Yeah, they said yeah. They shook their heads. Okay. Have you ever done something, got mad at your parents? Yeah, it's okay to say yeah. 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 I used to get mad with mine all the time. All right. Now, have you ever gotten mad with your brothers or your sisters? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Have you ever taken a cookie out of a cookie jar when your mom or dad told you not to? No? Can y'all believe that? Wow. Luke says he don't have a cookie jar at home. Poor deprived child. Oh my gosh. Jennifer, that's awful. Okay, well, we're going to leave this up here. Okay, I want y'all to pay attention to those cookies now. Mr. Jerry baked those last night. I went to bed. He baked them. Okay. So, now, all right. Have you ever done something that you weren't supposed to and you knew it was wrong? You knew it was wrong, but you did it anyway. Yeah? Yeah? Y'all can see me shaking Luke's head. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, let's get to why I'm asking all these questions. I wonder if Jesus ever did any of those things when he was a young boy. You think Jesus ever did anything wrong? There's yes, no. I said Jesus, not Luke. You think Jesus did anything wrong when he was a young boy? Okay, maybe. Do you think he got into trouble when he was a kid, Jesus? Probably. Okay. Well, it says in Isaiah 53:9, it says, he had done nothing wrong. He never lied. Even as a child, Jesus never sinned. That's hard to believe, isn't it? So, now, I want y'all to hold this. I will be Jesus as an adult. Okay? Here's a picture. So we got Jesus. Can y'all see over here too? We got Jesus as an adult. Wesley, we got Jesus as a teenager. Hold it up so everybody can see. Stretch it out so they can see. Luke, you got Jesus as a child. Okay. So Jesus never sinned as a child. He never sinned as a child. He never sinned as a teenager. We know Jesus lived and he grew, but he never did any wrong things as a child, as a teenager, or as an adult, or as a grown man. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, Christ has no sin, but God made him become sin so that he could come. Jesus had no sin, but God made him become sin so that in Christ we would become right with God. Even though Jesus never sinned, he came down from heaven to take our sins to the cross. No matter how old we are, young, teenager, or an adult, God will forgive our sins if we confess them to him. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for sending Jesus to the earth to die for our sins, and that he was a great example for us to follow. When other people hurt us or want to do something wrong, help us, Lord. We want to become more like you every day. Amen. Okay, now, since you were not tempted by cookies, you can have one after church. Take as many as you want, okay? They'll be right here. Well, they're all over the floor now. Oh, well.
It's all part of the plan, kids.
Sorry, guys. Our hymn, offertory hymn, is 350. The church is one foundation. Here we go. The church is one foundation. Amen.
Gracious Lord, accept our thanks for all your blessings. Every time we open our eyes, we see gifts from you that you have given us. And every time we hear your word, we are reminded once again of your loving hand. Give us thankful hearts that we may be more conscious of your daily goodness and love for us. As we give back to you today, Lord, grant us greater love so that we may live our thanks by serving you with our time, our talents, and our treasures. Help us to use our gifts wisely within the church and for others. May your name be praised today as we worship you. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we pause in silence that in this moment each of us might confess to you all of our failings, all of our scattered moments, all of our weaknesses, all of our shame, guilt, and doubt. We pause to confess. Spirit, lead us away from our wickedness. Spirit, lead us in steps of righteousness, following Christ. Forgive us when we turn to the left or to the right, or turn around altogether. Forgive us when we lose sight of where we're going and what this life is all about. Forgive us when we forget the lessons that were instilled in us by our forefathers and foremothers of faith. Turn us right around, O God, and lead us like a shepherd. Help us to be the sheep who are faithful and follow and listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. We give you thanks for your mercy and your grace. And by that mercy and by that grace, we pray. We pray for our nation this week as many enter into the ballot and cast their vote. Help us to remember, Lord, that no matter what happens, you are God. And help us be people who speak words of peace, unity, hope, life, goodness. Help us to be a people who remember those words that if there is anything good, let us think on that. Forgive us when we fall into the bitter marinade of anger and division and blame. calls us to be a people who build the kingdom. Brick by brick, soul by soul, for your glory, in the name of your Son. Amen. We invite you to hear again the words of Scripture from Psalm 149, the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. The word of God.
Thank you.
I say one thing right quick? The song we just sang, Jesus Messiah, we're going to do that as a congregation next week. So I hope you were listening. So next week, that is y'all's song next week.
You know, Forrest Gump is famous for saying life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. But watching Gay and drop that container of cookies, I thought, you know, it's probably also true. Life is a lot like a jar of cookies. We spend so much time getting everything together and in order, putting things in a way that they seem to us to be contained, to be self-sustaining. We put a lot of energy and effort into the plans that we have, into raising our children, into being good children ourselves, into planning ministries and coming up with great ideas and thinking about our retirement and what we're going to do when we're finally free of work and we can go where we want to go and do what we want to do. Life is like a box, like a jar of cookies that we've organized and contained, and then it just takes that one slip, that one thing, that one hitch, that one stone to trip us up and cause us to stumble, and it all just goes everywhere. And order turns to chaos. And our great expectations and our big plans turns into a moment of regret or loss or sorrow. It only takes a moment. It only takes a single thing, an event, a thing that was said or done to trip us up and to leave us feeling completely lost, watching everything roll across the floor. We've all been there. We've all had that moment, and if you haven't, you will. I promise you will in your life, where you find yourself feeling like everything is just lost. Often it's on the mourner's bench. We all will find ourselves in those moments where we're sitting in a pew in a church somewhere listening to a preacher rattle on about everlasting life and mansions of glory and streets of gold. And we only half even know what he's talking about up there, but we're sitting there because of the loss of a mother or a father or a grandparent, or perhaps a child, perhaps a spouse of 30, 40, 50 years or more. And we had it all together. We had it all organized. And maybe it's no relation at all, but a dear and trusted friend that's just in an instant, in a moment, they are slipped away and all the cookies are rolling on the floor. And we feel like we had everything in order, but now nothing makes any sense and nothing seems to be in order. And we sit there, sometimes we're crying, sometimes we're angry, sometimes we really don't know how we should feel, do we? People will tell us how to feel. People will be so quick to tell us what our hearts ought to be telling us, what our emotions ought to be like. People will tell us, you'll get over this. And years turn into years and we find you don't get over someone's loss, do you? You may learn to live with it. You may learn to take the next step and then the next and the next, and through baby steps move through life. You may find peace. You may find even joy in the memory of someone, but you don't get over them. Some people will tell us all about the stages of grief, as though there is some kind of final destination we are working towards here in grief. And meanwhile, we're sitting there picking up the crumbs of a life that we thought we were going to have, and it's just gone. You probably know something of that experience. Sitting there on the mourner's bench, trying to put on a brave, strong face. Here's what the Apostle Paul would have us know about such moments. He would remind us in this passage of Ephesians that life is not about never hurting any longer, or never crying, or never having pain, or never having that
that one slip moment where everything seems to go to chaos. But rather, in Christ, we have a strength and a hope, a power even. We have a promise in the gospel. And all of that is symbolized by this single candle and by the words of Scripture today to remind us that, yes, those moments will come for us, but they are not devastating. They are not devastating. Now, we may feel devastated, but devastation means the total destruction of all. And that's not what those moments are. Listen to what he says as he writes to the Ephesian church in chapter 1, verse 15. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. Saints being those faithful who have died and gone ahead of us. Saints being those mamas and grandmamas, papas and grandpas who are no longer with us. Saints being those faithful souls in our lives, Sunday school teachers, deacons, former pastors, trusted friends, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters. He says, for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. Why? What is it that we need to be wise about? What is it that needs to be revealed to us? In verse 18, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put his power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul says that there is a hope to which we are called for, a hope in the resurrection, a hope in newness of life, a hope in the fullness of life completed in the kingdom of God. He says this is what the glorious inheritance are, the inheritance given not only to those saints who've gone before us, but an inheritance that we ourselves are wrapped up in and held together in, and no power can destroy that. There is no devastation in Christ. And he says that this is an immeasurable greatness of his power for those who believe. That there is power in that, isn't there? There is power in hope. There is power in promise. There is power in understanding these things. And even if those loved ones that we have lost, if we do not know their story or know that they're in Christ, there remains for them hope. Because in the end, you don't know. There is always hope in the resurrection. What great power. And for Paul, this gives us, or gives the disciples in Ephesians, this power of memory. And memory gives birth to love. You love the saints, he says. You honor the saints. And I think for us today, with a knowledge of the resurrection, the hope of the gospel, the promise of everlasting life, and the light of Christ that shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it, the question becomes, how do we love then the saints? And I'm not going to talk about putting flowers on graves or setting up memorial funds. I'm going to back everything up and say that loving and honoring the saints begins while they are still alive to hear it. and to know it. I have this experience as a pastor all the time, where I'm sitting in my office with a small cluster of family who've just lost someone they love, and they start to tell stories. They start to share memories. And inevitably, someone, whether it be the youngest child of the family or maybe a grandchild, they'll say, "I never knew that." Or they'll say, "I never heard that before." I think that what I'm learning in all of that is that honoring and loving the saints means having relationship with them, listening to them, hearing them in this lifetime, seeking out those stories. It's happened really, I think, with my parents' generation, where we stopped talking to our children and grandchildren and telling them, you know, back when I was a kid, this was all trees. And did I ever tell you about your grandmother? Did you ever know about your Uncle Tom and the time that he fell in the well? To hear those stories and to pass them on is honoring and loving the saints. So that means that for us who are the children and the grandchildren, we need to start talking to our parents and our grandparents and great-grandparents and asking them to tell us the story. But for those of you who are the grandparents or the aged, saged adults, you have a responsibility to be good saints, to seek out those teenagers in the church. They don't even have to be your own. Claim them anyway. Love on them anyway. When I was a child, when I was a teenager growing up in the church, I was terrified of the senior adults. They seemed such like strange creatures to me until they started reaching out to me and loving on me and telling me their stories and connecting with me. And it was an awe-inspiring thing to say that I mattered to this person who's not even family, but they're claiming me and they're investing in me. You can do that. Teenagers, I would like you to know that often our senior adults are just as afraid of you. You are intimidating. But more so than that, senior adults tend to say this: "Oh, they don't want to hear me. Oh, they don't want to know what I have to say." You're wrong. But for you who are teenagers, I would remind you that it goes both ways. Reach out to those grandmas and grandpas in the church, even if they are not your own. Hear their story, honor them, and love them. And so that when that moment comes where we are sitting on the mourner's bench and that person is lost to us in this lifetime, we will have the stories to tell. We will have the memories to share. And we will find that in the sharing of stories and memories and relationship, that we find that order again returns. That sense of completeness becomes restored. And we know that it's not going to ever be the same, but it can come back together. And I promise you, next Sunday, there'll be another jar of cookies. And we can all share in that as well. Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for the saints. We give you thanks for the lessons that they leave, the lingering memories, and the way they challenge us. And Lord, most of all, we give you thanks for the hope and the promise of the gospel and the resurrection. May those truths strengthen us with great power so that in all of life's moments, the good ones, the bad ones, the celebrations and the sorrows, we might be strengthened. And Lord, we pause as we come now to a moment in the service to acknowledge those saints with light. We are reminded of the words that they will be caught up like stars in the heavens. They will shine. Lord, indeed, your spirit shines through those we remember. We pause and remember those from this very congregation who have gone on in this last year. From November 6th to November 6th, we remember them. Mandy Gray, Helen Apple, Richard White, Ann Azell, Nina Harrison, N. R. Franks, Mary Lou Beryl. Oh God, would you keep these saints in your arms and in your kingdom now and forever, and help us to honor them and love them by remembering your glory as it was lived out in their lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We want to invite you now for this time of memorial. We've been doing this for the last 2 years on All Saints Sunday, lighting a single candle. There are many candles up here, and we invite you to come as a family to light a candle in honor of all your family and all those influences in your life who've gone before you. You can come also as an individual and light a candle for an individual or for all those family members who have passed away. As you come, there is no order, no timing. As you come, come in your own time. If you feel led to come at all, you do not have to. But we invite you to come in silence and in reverence and to light a candle. I light a candle this morning for Adam and Abel, for Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Jeremiah and Isaiah, for the Apostle Paul and all the disciples, for the writers of the gospel. I light a candle for grandparents, for aunts and uncles, and for my mother. Would you come as you feel led?
closing hymn this morning is hymn number 2, Holy, Holy, Holy. And we'll sing the first and last stanza. Let's stand.
Receive this blessing and remain standing for the benediction response. May the light of Christ shine into whatever darkness you will face this week. And may you know with great hope and strength and power that that light cannot be stopped. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.